This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. From an undisclosed location to the media circuit, former Vice President Dick Cheney vents and Sarah Palin plans to in a new book. It's Wednesday and time for a springtime edition of The Political Junkie.
There you go again.
When I hear your new ideas, I'm reminded of that ad. Where's the beef?
Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
Lipstick.
But I'm the decider.
On Wednesdays, NPR political editor Ken Rudin joins us to talk politics. In Washington, President Barack Obama does stand up, along with Wanda Sykes. We'll give you some highlights later. A special election for a House seat up next week in California. In Kentucky, Jim Bunning decides he will stand for re-election, maybe. Florida Governor Charlie Crist wants to leave Tallahassee for D.C., and he'll get a challenge from both parties. More on that a bit later. Word leaks, though, that President Obama will choose a Supreme Court nominee soon. And we'll also focus on Dick Cheney's newfound voice. But we begin, as always, with the trivia question. First, political junkie Ken Rudin joins us here in Studio 3A. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Neil. Well, I don't know what soon means, but the president met today with Harry Reid, Mitch McConnell, the top two Democrat Republicans in the Senate, plus Pat Leahy, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, and Jeff Sessions, the ranking Republican member on that Judiciary Committee.
The newly ranking Republican.
The newly ranking Republican, exactly. Well, among the many names that have been out there as possible Supreme Court replacements for David Souter has been Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm. Whether it's going to happen or not is one thing, but there have been other Supreme Court justices who have run for governor in the past. Who was the last person on the court who ran for governor?
So if you think you know the last person on the Supreme Court to run for governor of a United States.
Of a United States of America.
Okay, give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And, of course, the winner gets a fabulous, no prize, a fabulous T-shirt, beautifully designed.
It's
blue. It's got white letter. What more could you possibly ask for? And only one way to get it. Anyway, give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. And Ken, last week, you, like many other political experts around the country, expected that Republican Senator Jim Bunning of Kentucky would give a speech on Saturday to announce his withdrawal. Not so much.
I hope and pray I can count on your support in the coming months. The battle is going to be long, but I am prepared to fight for my values.
Jim Bunning announcing that he plans to run for re-election if he can raise enough money.
Well, that's always been the problem with Jim Bunning. Aside from his relationship with fellow Republicans, and we've said on the show many times that he has not had the greatest relationship, especially with Mitch McConnell, who's his fellow Kentucky Republican. But he's also raised only about $700,000 so far for a third-term bid. Jim Bunning barely won re-election in 2004 when President Bush was winning easily in Kentucky. So he does have a fight up against him. But we thought that he might want to drop out because of those financial problems and, as you know, the polling numbers. But apparently, as of now, he says, unless I can't raise the money, he's in that race to stay.
One of the more interesting Senate seats that's going to be up in the next cycle in 2010. I can't believe it's going to be 2010. But another is going to be Florida. We're going to be focusing on this a lot coming up in the next segment of the program. But Charlie Crist, the Republican governor of the state, not going to run for re-election as governor. He's going to run for the Senate.
Right. He did have a choice, and polls show him very popular in the state, not among conservatives, and that could be his biggest problem for the Republican nomination. But Charlie Crist could have run for a second term as governor. He was first elected in 2006, but he decided that with Mel Martinez not running for re-election to the Senate, with Jeb Bush, the former governor, not deciding to run for the Senate, there's a lot of pressure from Washington, from D.C. Republicans saying, we need to hold this seat. The news for the Senate races have not been good lately, let alone what happened with Arlen Specter in Pennsylvania. We'd love to keep the seat, and Charlie Crist is the strongest candidate to do so.
And we'll have repercussions further down the
Absolutely.
Ticket, all the way down the ticket in Florida. We'll focus on that a little bit later in the program. In the meantime, new polls on the gubernatorial race upcoming in the state of New York. Interesting, they're not even mentioning the current sitting governor.
Well, that's interesting, too. Yeah, there's a new poll that came out, I think it was Quinnipiac, and said that former mayor Rudy Giuliani is within a few points of Andrew Cuomo. Now, the last I saw, Andrew Cuomo is the state attorney general, has not even announced he's going to run for governor. But I guess the feeling is that if Cuomo runs, he beats David Paterson in the primary. Paterson, of course, being the accidental governor who became governor when Elliot Spitzer resigned last year. But it's interesting that the poll talked about Giuliani and Andrew Cuomo, but not of David Paterson, who is the sitting governor.
In the meantime, Governor Paterson is trying to get a gay marriage bill through the state legislature. Got it through the assembly yesterday.
Right. It passed last night, and now it's a question of the state Senate. For the first time in decades, in 2008, the state Senate went to Democratic control, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on that. But it's interesting, Neil, you and I were talking about this before. In the states that have passed gay marriages so far, and that's Maine and Massachusetts, Vermont, now New Hampshire too, but we're waiting for the governor's signature, and Iowa, all are interestingly mostly overwhelmingly majority white states. And I only mention that because New York is not obviously has a large contingent of African American voters, and there is some
Hispanic voters,
and there is squeamishness among blacks and Latinos on gay marriage. So it'll be very interesting to see what pressures are being put on those groups.
And an actual election, we don't have to talk about 2010, next week in the state of California, a congressional race to replace Hilda Solis, who had, of course, resigned to become the next Secretary of Labor.
Right, and it's an overwhelmingly Hispanic district, 64% Hispanic district, but it looks like an Asian candidate, Judy Chu, a former member of the State Assembly, is ahead in that race against a Hispanic State Senator Gil Cedillo, and it's very interesting, the battles, they both were liberal candidates, and it's clear that the Democrats will hold that seat, but it's interesting the dynamics between Asian Americans and Latino Americans in fight for political power, and that's a big, interesting race east of Los Angeles.
And this is one of those primaries where should either of those two leading candidates, I think there are 12 people on the ticket altogether, should either of those candidates get over 50%, well, they're elected right away. If not, if nobody commands a majority of the votes in this primary stage, then the top Democrat would face off against the top Republican, not necessarily the number two.
That's correct, in the July runoff. But so obviously, whatever Democrat comes out ahead next Tuesday will almost certainly be the next congressperson from that district.
And we have some people up on the line who think they know the answer to our trivia question this week, which is the last member of the United States Supreme Court to run for governor of one of the United States of America. And let's see if we can get some callers on the line. Let's begin with Marcia. Marcia is with us from Haverford in Pennsylvania.
Hi there.
Hi, Marcia. Go ahead, please.
Sandra Day O'Connor?
Well, Sandra Day O'Connor was a member of the Arizona State Legislature, but never ran for governor. She was a state senator, but she never ran for governor.
Thanks.
Nice try, Marcia. Let's see if we go next to James. James with us from Portland, Oregon.
How you doing, sir?
All right.
Earl Warren, California.
Earl Warren was the governor of California.
And a matter of fact, Earl Warren, who was the chief justice in the 1950s and 60s, was the last person elected governor, but he was not the last Supreme Court justice to run for governor. He was the last one elected.
Nice try, though. Let's see if we can go next to... This is Kelly. Kelly from Placerville in California.
Hi. Was it Abe Fortas?
Abe Fortas,
Abe Fortas, of course, was Lyndon Johnson's choice to replace Arthur Goldberg on the Supreme Court, but Abe Fortas never ran for office.
Never ran for office.
Oh, okay.
But he found himself off the Supreme Court, too. Thanks very much, Kelly. And let's see if we can go to Aaron. Aaron with us from Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I think I may have gone a little too far back on the time scale here, but I thought it was Hamilton Gamble, a big party.
Of the Whig Party? In what year?
1856 or somewhere around there.
Going back in time, Ken, was that a primary you followed?
Not the last person who ran for governor who served on the Supreme Court. But I'll give you a hint, because since Earl Warren was the last one elected more recently than Earl Warren.
All right, nice try. Aaron, history, we love it. Let's see if we can go next to, this is Mark. Mark with us from Baltimore.
Byrne from South Carolina. James Byrne?
James Byrne was elected. He was governor and senator, but again, that's the 1940s. I want somebody more recent than that.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
All right. Nice try, Mark. Let's see if we can go next to Kanda. Kanda with us from Concord, California.
Yeah, you mentioned his name, Abraham Goldberg.
Arthur Goldberg of New York.
Goldberg, yeah, he ran against Nelson Rockefeller and lost.
In 1970, that is the correct answer.
Ding, 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 ding. So, Kanda of Concord, California, you are the, ecstatic recipient of the Talk of the Nation Political Junkie No Prize. We're going to put you on hold if I can find the right
button. Thank you very much. Love the show.
Been a challenge this week so far. Hey, I think we got it right. We'll take his name and address and send him a copy of our No Prize T-shirt, expecting a digital photograph of him wearing it to add to our rogues gallery of winners. And let's see, Sarah Palin, the former vice presidential candidate, still governor of Alaska, gets a book deal. We don't know how much yet, but she got a book deal to write her memoir.
She's going to write, basically, it's called My Side of the Story. And, she's been not only pilloried by the national media, but, from her own party, too. There are a lot of people. The Republican Party was clearly split over what to make of her running against John McCain on the 2008 ticket. A lot of conservatives liked her better than they liked John McCain. Other Republicans said that she was divisive and not most qualified to become president should something have happened to John McCain. So she's a very interesting figure. Obviously, her name has been thrown out in the 2012 speculation. The book comes out in the spring of 2010, just as she's running for re-election, assuming she runs for re-election as governor of Alaska.
And finally, there is a battle underway in the United States Senate, even as we speak, where the number two member of the number two office in the Interior Department is been nominated and fallen short. This is one of the rare weeks we're not mentioning the Minnesota Senate race because the next round doesn't begin until June. But if you wondered why the Democrats might want 60 votes.
That's exactly right. David Hayes is an environmental lawyer. He was his nomination was so far defeated today. The vote was 57-39. But here's the interesting part is Barbara Mikulski, John Kerry and Ted Kennedy, three Democrats who did not vote on that issue. Obviously, had they voted, Hayes would have gotten the 60 votes. Harry Reid says they'll reschedule a vote and make sure the three senators show up.
And I think Harry will be taking attendance that day.
That's exactly right.
Obviously, senators are absent every once in a while for various reasons, so this is not that unusual. All the Republicans weren't there either. Anyway, coming up, we're going to be talking with Ken Rudin and head south to Florida and the challenges that Governor Charlie Crist will face if he hopes to become Senator Charlie Crist and what it means for the Republican Party in that state. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Ken Rudin, our political junkie and NPR's political editor, is here, as he is every Wednesday. You can read his political junkie blog and download his podcast at npr.org. A little bit later in the hour, he reunites with NPR's Ron Elving to talk about former Vice President Dick Cheney's sudden burst of media appearances and what he's trying to accomplish on all those talk shows. But first to Florida, where yesterday Governor Charlie Crist made an announcement that most everybody expected, that he's running for the United States Senate.
For me, it's always been about service, wanting to serve the people of Florida the very best I possibly can. And I am honored to be the governor of this great state. I also understand that the challenges that Florida faces are not just Florida challenges, they're national issues. And as a result of that, I believe that I can best serve the people of Florida if they're willing to allow me as their next United States Senator. That's why I'm running for the Senate, to serve the people the very best way that I possibly can.
So Governor Crist trying to make that careful pirouette of saying, I'm going to be serving the people of Florida every single day, except when I'm running for Senate.
Plus the fact that if he's elected, he's coming to a minority party. There's no chance that the Republican Party is going to be the majority party in the Senate anytime soon. Part of it is perhaps calculation about 2012. There was speculation that Charlie Crist would love to be the Republican presidential nominee. He was on John McCain's shortlist for VP in 2008, and perhaps maybe that's the way to do it. Once upon a time, being governor was the way to the presidency, Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter, George Bush. But now you see Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Senators John Edwards were all the top candidates.
Joe Biden,
right, all senators who were hoping for the nomination. And I think it's interesting, though, that Charlie Crist is leaving at a time when the economy is not that great, and perhaps people say that maybe he should have stayed and completed the job. He was afraid that he would have been a term-limited governor had he run run again and would have been forgotten in the scheme of things.
We want to hear from our Florida listeners today. What has Governor Crist done for your state? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And Ken mentioned that he would be a junior senator in the minority party in Washington, D.C., but also somebody who would be out of step with the ideological tenor of the Republican Party in Washington, D.C., which is decidedly more conservative than Charlie Crist has been. Notably, he supported President Obama's stimulus package, which was opposed by every Republican in the United States Senate, and mentioned yesterday in his announcement talking about his decision to run.
I think what's important to bear in mind is that we do things a little bit differently here in Florida, and that's another reason that I run for the U.S. Senate. We work together to solve problems and do what's right for the people of our state. The people are the boss. And I think that regardless of party, we have to work together to get things done. And that's what I'd like to take to Washington, D.C.
Joining us now is Aubrey Jewett, professor of political science at the University of Central Florida, co-author of the book Politics in Florida, with us today from the studios of member station WUCF in Orlando. And it's nice to have you on the program with us.
It's great to be here, guys.
So is Crist the automatic front runner?
Yeah, I think he does become the automatic front runner. I think his main challenge will be to get through the Republican primary. He should be the front runner there as well, but he will face a serious challenge for Marco Rubio from South Florida.
Marco Rubio from South Florida is a conservative who immediately responded to Crist's announcement with this ad. And stay with us, if you would, Aubrey Jewett, because we're going to need you to read between the lines of some of this verbiage. Here's Mario Rubio's ad.
An election coming into focus, a choice for Florida's future. Some politicians support trillions in reckless spending, borrowed money from China and the Middle East, mountains of debt for our children, and a terrible threat to a fragile economy. Today, too many politicians embrace Washington's same old broken ways. But this time, there is a leader who won't. Let the debate begin.
Marco Rubio, agent of change, that's his web ad. And that first part, as we listen to it, Aubrey Jewett, when he's talking about those who would spend our children into the oblivion of future generations, he's really talking about Charlie Crist.
Well, yeah, I think by implication, absolutely, he's talking about Charlie as well. And it really is going to set up a battle for the Republicans.
We're having a little difficulty hearing that phone line from Florida. And he's apparently having difficulty hearing us. Aubrey Jewett is with us, professor of political science at the University of Central Florida in Orlando, and we're having a little technical problem with the line. And one of the things that we wanted to talk to him about, it's interesting getting back to the Washington, D.C. side of this, Ken Rudin. As soon as Charlie Crist came out with his announcement, he was endorsed by John Cornyn, the senator from Texas, the Republican chairman of the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee, which has set off some waves.
And Mitch McConnell as well, the minority leader in the Senate. Which is interesting about that is because perhaps they're very much aware of what happened with Arlen Specter. Some moderates, some liberals said that the conservatives drummed Specter out of the party. Whether that's true or not, I think they want to say that maybe the way to win is to get the most popular candidate, not the most ideologically pure candidate. And Charlie Crist would probably do the former, not the latter.
And Marco Rubio, as we go back to you,
Aubrey Jewett.
Marco Rubio, definitely the conservative candidate. And he and some of his colleagues are objecting to Senator Cornyn's analysis here.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think from the Rubio perspective, and he's the Jeb Bush protege from South Florida, they feel like they can win Florida from a conservative Republican standpoint, not just sort of, as I said, conservative light, perhaps. And for Marco Rubio, he has gone on the offensive already, and his biggest challenge will be to see if he can raise enough money to get his word out to the Republican primary voters, because Charlie Crist, if nothing else, is a prolific fundraiser, set records when he ran for governor, $20 million plus he was able to raise last time around.
Let's get some listeners in on the conversation. 800-989-8255, Floridians, what do you think Charlie Crist has done for the state of Florida? Helen's with us on the line from Miami.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, I don't think he's done much for Florida. I call him an empty suit. It's a lot of talk, very little action. And as a Republican, I'm looking for something else. I'm looking for someone who stand up for our values as Republicans. I don't think Mr. Crist has done that and is doing that.
And would you support Marco Rubio?
Well, given that's going to be just those two choices, I will have to. I would like to see Mr. Bush run again, and this time for the office of the senator. But I don't think that's going to be a possibility. Instead, so.
And Aubrey Jewett, I think she's right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think the rap on Charlie Crist by a lot of folks in the Republican Party is that he's a great politician in the sense that he can win votes, but that he's not real policy-oriented, and he's just not consistently conservative. For instance, nominating justices to the Florida Supreme Court, his first two nominations were very conservative Republicans, and the base was quite happy. His last one was a liberal Democrat right here from Central Florida, which just flustered the entire Republican conservative base in the state.
I actually thought Helen was right about to her supposition that Jeb Bush is not going to be running for Senate.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Jeb seems like he's completely ruled that out, that he wants to try to impact the system from the outside, and I don't think there's any chance that he's going to hop in even at the last minute or anything like that.
Helen, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Professor Jewett, two quick questions. First of all, Marco Rubio is Cuban-American, and obviously Republicans have relied on the Cuban-American vote to win in Florida. Could you talk a little bit about the importance of that? And also, what's the role of Jeb Bush going to be in the primary?
Sure. Well, I think for Marco Rubio, for him to win, he's really got to get two types of voters in the primary. And one, we've sort of been talking about already, is the disaffected social conservative that just doesn't think Crist is conservative enough. But the other really strong base that he can rely on is the Cuban-American vote in South Florida. And we have precedent from it with our current U.S. Senator Mel Martinez. He was in a fairly tough Republican primary 4 years ago against Bill McCollum, and it ended up not being very close in the end because Martinez was able to rack up maybe 100,000-plus votes in Miami-Dade County. So that's going to be very crucial if Rubio is going to have a shot to win. And as far as Jeb, you know, we'll see what he does, but again, within Florida politics, Marco Rubio is really considered to be a Jeb Bush acolyte. And so if Jeb comes out strongly for Marco Rubio, and I don't know if he will, but if he does, again, that will really help Rubio and make it an actual battle.
Let's see if we get another caller in on the conversation, and let's go with Siobhan. Siobhan with us from Hollywood, Florida.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
This is great for us, for people in Florida to looking at the election because it opens up the food chain all the way down. But I'd like to talk about the fact that Governor Crist really doesn't stick around for any position too long. He kind of jumps from one position, from the education after one term, runs for education, then he ran for the attorney general, then he ran for the governor. Now that things are getting tough here in Florida, he's kind of flying the coop. So the idea of being good time Charlie might stick to him, and I just don't know if Marco Rubio has enough guts to really try to bloody him in the primary, or if the Democrats would. So I'd be interested to hear if anybody thinks that maybe going negative on a lightweight governor would be an effective tactic.
Is this going to be the dilettante factor, Aubrey?
Well, yeah, I think that they certainly is a that's a valid attack for Rubio or for the eventual Democratic nominee, assuming that Crist makes it that far. The fact of the matter is he does seem to be someone that just loves to run. Crist seems to be someone that just loves to run, and he's always looking for the next office. And, in fact, in the lead-up to the story, you guys were talking about, you know, potentially being a presidential or vice presidential candidate. So, you know, people are already talking about that down here, that maybe Senate isn't even his final step, that he's actually already looking ahead to that, you know, two steps ahead.
Has anybody asked him already to promise that he will complete his first term as a senator?
That has not come up yet, but you never know. I can see that as a good debate line in the first debate, for sure.
And Siobhan mentioned all the way down the food chain, changes in the Republican Party in particular. This opens up a whole, well, whether it's opportunities or a can of worms, depends on what happens, I guess.
Yeah, at the state level in Tallahassee, we have, of course, the governor's seat, and we have three other statewide elected offices, and all four of those are should be open seat races. So we're going to have a lot of change in Tallahassee.
Siobhan, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks, and tell Ken we're waiting for him to come down and visit.
Ken, they're waiting for you to come down and visit there in Hollywood, Florida.
Take care, Neil. I'm on my way.
All right, let's see. Let's see if we can go to David. David's calling from Tallahassee, where they're also waiting for Ken to come and visit.
Hi, Ken. I'm a Florida Democrat, and I'm considering strongly switching to the Republican Party so that I can vote in the Republican primary.
What do you like about either of those Republican candidates?
Well, I like Chris because he's been very pro-environment.
Very pro-environment. That has been very much part of his record, Aubrey Jewett.
Yeah, it really has. He announced a big energy going green plan for Florida, stopped a big coal fire plant from being built, announced a big program to buy thousands of acres of land from a sugar producer down in South Florida to help clean up the Everglades. So he does have pretty strong environmental credibility for sure.
David, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And we mentioned his opposition in the Republican primary. Who's likely going to be running for the Democratic opportunity to be represented in the United States Senate?
Sure. Well, right now there's two candidates, Kendrick Meek, both from South Florida. Kendrick Meek, who is a congressman from South Florida, and Dan Gelber, who's a state senator from South Florida. And those are the two guys that are in right now. Kendrick Meek's African-American, sort of a political legacy there. His mother was the first black woman elected to the Florida Senate and then went on to serve in Congress. And then when she retired, Kendrick took her seat. And I would say he's probably a slight favorite right now within the Democratic primary. But Gelber's pretty well known within Democratic Party circles. He's been around for a while. But again, interesting that they're both from South Florida. So I suspect we still may see at least one or two more Democratic candidates getting either from Central Florida or North Florida.
Aubrey Jewett, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Aubrey Jewett, a professor of political science at the University of Central Florida, co-author of Politics in Florida, with us today from member station WUCF in Orlando. You're listening to the Political Junkie on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And this past weekend, one of those annual events here in Washington, D.C., referred to by many in the media as the prom. It's the White House Correspondents' Dinner, always, almost always, attended by the President of the United States. This was Barack Obama's first opportunity, always spoken to generally by a comedian whose remarks are sometimes controversial, this time by Wanda Sykes. And here are the highlights.
Good evening, everybody. I would like to welcome you all to the 10-day anniversary of my first 100 days. I am Barack Obama. Most of you covered me. All of you voted for me. Tomorrow is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the audience. I do have to say, though, that this is a tough holiday for Rahm Emanuel because he's not used to saying the word day after mother.
But that's, and you just hang out. And I think you hang out too much. Like, what was that? You and Joe Biden now getting the hamburgers. The two of you can't hang out together? I mean, whose idea was that? Nancy Pelosi's?
Hey, why don't you boys go out and get a bite? You know she was a Hillary supporter. What's wrong with you?
Michael Steele is in the house tonight. Or as he would say, in the heezy. What's up? Where's Michael? Is he, Michael, for the last time, the Republican Party does not qualify for a bailout. Rush Limbaugh does not count as a troubled asset. I'm sorry.
Boy, Rush Limbaugh said he hopes this administration fails. You know, so you're saying, I hope America fails. You're like, I don't care about people losing their homes or jobs or our soldiers in Iraq. He just wants the country to fail. To me, that's treason. He's not saying anything differently than what Osama bin Laden is saying. You know, you might want to look into this, sir, because I think maybe Rush Limbaugh was the 20th hijacker, but he was just so strung out on Oxycontin, he missed his flight. Okay. But you're laughing inside. I know you're laughing. Rush Limbaugh, I hope the country fails. I hope his kidneys fail. How about that? He needs a good waterboarding. That's what he needs.
Wanda Sykes and earlier President Barack Obama addressing the White House Correspondents Association dinner this past weekend here in Washington, D.C. Coming up, Dick Cheney laid low for 8 years as vice president. Not anymore. We'll look at why he's suddenly all over TV and on the offensive. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.